Heavenly Father, please work through your word to speak to us tonight and help us to hear the wonderful things that you have to say. Please help me to speak clearly and help us to understand. Amen. You have probably worked this out, but we are living in the boom of online shopping. I don't know if you're an avid fan of that. I am. Maybe you prefer walking into the real shop and speaking to a real person and having human interaction. But online shopping has definitely changed the way that we buy things. And in my experience, it's great. I plan to do all my Christmas shopping that way this year. It's quick, it's convenient. But not everyone has the same experience. Sometimes packages turn up on your doorstep that are not quite what you're hoping for. As you'll see on the screen, someone I saw recently ordered a fry pan, looked great, bought the fry pan, had the fry pan delivered, and as you'll see, twas for a dollhouse. I believe they thought they were getting a good deal. Or the following gentleman, I'd say, bought a singlet to show off the guns, all the gym work, and what he received was more like evening wear. Now, thankfully, most, even if it doesn't quite work, most in online shopping letdowns are not very serious. They're frustrating, but they're not very serious. But being let down by someone that we know, that is much more serious, isn't it? We feel that much more intensely. I wonder if you've had the experience of being let down by someone you're close to, someone that you love. It's so much worse, isn't it? Especially when it's someone that you should be able to trust implicitly, in your family, your friend, even at church. And you can experience a whole range of emotions, just from minor disappointment through to annoyance and frustration and anger and heartbreak, as someone that you trusted has let you down. Maybe that's been your experience. Maybe you've been let down by church. There can be a real challenge to trust that person or that institution again, can't there? A real challenge to open up to them and relate to them. So who can you trust when you feel that you have been let down? Well, these are the questions that the Apostle Paul is addressing in the section of the Bible that was just read for us, that we're looking at tonight. Now, for those of you who are visiting, we've just started a series looking through the letter of 2 Corinthians. This is written by the Apostle Paul to the church in the city of Corinth. And this is the second letter to that church that we have recorded for us in the Bible. But it's likely to be the fourth letter that he sent to them, just sort of backwards and forwards correspondence. And at this point in the letter, Paul addresses some of the misgivings that the Corinthian church feel about him, because they feel a bit let down by Paul over something that we might think is minor, but it was significant to them. And the main thing that I want us to get out of this tonight, that I want us to walk away with tonight from this passage, is that people may let us down, but God is always faithful and will not let us down. We're going to see that in three quick sections through this passage. First, we're going to see Paul's confidence. Second, we'll see his fallibility. And third, we'll see his certainty. So firstly, Paul's confidence. He's confident that he has acted with integrity. Paul is soon going to address the reason why the Corinthian church feel let down by him. But first, he wants to make a bit of a def- defense of himself. He is confident that he has always acted appropriately towards them. See this in verse 12. Verse 12 says, "Now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, with integrity and godly sincerity. We have done so relying not on worldly wisdom, but on God's grace." When Paul says here at the start, "Now this is our boast," you may start to worry. Boast is such an ugly word, isn't it? Someone boasting. Particularly in Australia, we hate the idea of someone boasting. But what Paul's really saying here is that this is his confidence. He's not boasting about how good he is. Rather, he's stating that he is confident that he and his team have always attempted to do what is right by the Corinthians. That he has acted with integrity and sincerity. And we can tell that it's not a boast about himself because he acknowledges that it was only ever been through God's grace, God's strength, God's wisdom and power that he has been able to act this way towards them. Evidence for his integrity can be seen through the letters that Paul has written to this church. He worked hard for them. He worked hard to make his letters understandable to them. We may say, "Paul, could you have worked a little harder at times?" But he's worked hard to make his letters understandable to them. And at times, his letters have been direct and a scathing rebuke of the things that they have been doing. But it's always been for their good, with the goal of keeping them faithful until the last day, the day of the return of the Lord Jesus. See in verse 13. "For we do not write you anything you cannot read or understand. And I hope that, as you have understood us in part, you will come to understand fully that you can boast of us just as we will boast of you in the day of the Lord Jesus." He desperately wanted this church to remain faithful, trusting in Jesus, faithful to the end, so that they can rejoice together on the day of Christ. And Paul's boast, his confidence here, is in that God has enabled him to work with integrity, bringing this message to them, even though things ultimately didn't go to plan. As that's what we're going to see in our second point, Paul's fallibility. So what happened? Paul was certain that he'd acted with integrity. So how did he let down this church? Well, he had told them that he was going to come and visit them soon. And then he didn't. That's it. As simple as that. He actually sent a letter to them instead, probably his third letter. But see what he says in verse 15. "Because I was confident of this, I wanted to visit you first so that you might benefit twice. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia and then to have you send me on my way to Judea." Paul had told this church that he was going to come and visit them as he went out on his journey to Macedonia to go and preach. And then he said he's actually going to come back from Macedonia through Corinth to visit them again and they could send him on his way out to Judea. But then he didn't. And this left the Corinthian church feeling let down, disappointed, and possibly even angry that Paul didn't keep his word. And you might be thinking, so what? Why does this matter? Why is this such a big deal? You might be thinking, well, good. Isn't it great that the visiting preacher didn't come back and spend all night, you know, preaching his stuff to them? But there was a special relationship between Paul and the Corinthian church. Paul had brought the good news of Jesus to them. It was through his ministry that many of them had come to faith, trusting in Jesus for their salvation and being brought out of darkness and into light. And Paul had been instrumental in their continued growth as believers and perseverance as Christians. He was like a beloved mentor, caring for them, encouraging them, even rebuking them when they needed it. And they hadn't seen him for a while now, and they missed him. It's not like today where you can just call someone up on the other side of the world on the phone or see their face over the internet. That's amazing. This didn't happen. Once he'd left them and hopped on that boat and gone elsewhere, he was gone to them. He was gone. They had no contact. And they were looking forward to the time that he said he would come and visit, looking forward to the encouragement that he would bring, looking forward to spend time with him. And then he didn't. He didn't show. And they felt let down, disappointed, and even betrayed. So how might this affect their relationship? May they begin to question his commitment to them? Possibly. Might they begin to question his ministry and message to them? I mean, if he's so unreliable that he doesn't keep his word and that his word doesn't seem to mean much to him, then has everything he's told them been unreliable as well? Now, Paul acknowledges they might be asking these questions. He says in verse 17, "Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or do I make plans in a worldly manner so that in the same breath I say both yes, yes, and no, no?" Now, his travel plans hadn't worked out. And he's saying to them, it's not because he was fickle or indecisive. He didn't make the plans like, yeah, I guess I'll come. I'll see you guys in 2 years. I don't know, maybe not. Like, that's not how it worked. He fully intended to come to them. But rather, as we see in verse 23, he decided it wasn't the best time to visit. There were issues going on in this church that he wanted to address by letter first. Send a letter through to tell them, here are some issues that you need to deal with and repent from. And then after that, he could then come and visit and have a much more pleasant visit with them. He says in verse 23, "I call God as my witness, and I stake my life on it, that it was in order to spare you that I did not return to Corinth." But regardless of how his travel plans worked out, regardless of how he failed to show up, his message was always and would always remain true. Verse 18. "But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no." And his message would remain faithful because it was anchored not in Paul, but in God's faithfulness. Paul's message that he preached, the message of Jesus the Christ, who died for their sin and rose to life again, that's not a message that's, yeah, I guess this happened, maybe, I don't know, it impacts you a little bit, I'm not sure. No, this is a message of truth bringing life to them. And it would always be true, not because of Paul's integrity, not because of his sincerity, but because of God's faithfulness. So how can Paul be so sure? And that brings us to our third point. Paul's certainty. God will always keep his promises. Paul is certain because he knows that God, his God, is a promise-making and a promise-keeping God. See verse 18 again. "But as surely as God is faithful, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silas, and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. This is the crux of our passage tonight. Throughout the Bible, God has shown himself to make amazing promises. Throughout the history of God dealing with people, he has been making promises, big promises, and all of them have come to fulfillment in Jesus Christ, or will one day come to complete fulfillment in Jesus Christ. We could spend all night going through the Bible looking at all the promises that God has made, but I've just picked out a few. To Adam and Eve in the garden, God promised that one of their descendants would defeat Satan, undoing the curse of sin. To Abraham, God promised to give his people the promised land, to make his family into a great nation, and to bless the whole world through his offspring. To King David, God promised that one of his descendants would be on the throne forever. Through the prophets, God promised his sinful and rebellious people that he would restore them and spiritually renew them and deal with their corruption and guilt, and they would always, always be his people. God promised a savior. And so much more. And in every one of these cases, these promises have found their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Sure, some of these promises seemed to be fulfilled in Israel's history. God promised them a land they could live in and prosper and be safe and secure and have peace. But then things went bad as they rejected him. And it became clear that God would have to do something much more drastic to enable his people to live in security and safety and peace. That promise is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus, who will bring his people home to heaven. Throughout the New Testament, God has made promises to us, to all who call on the name of the Lord Jesus, to all who are his followers. Jesus promises to always be with us. He's promised that he's gone to his Father's house to prepare a place for us. He's promised that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. He's promised that all who call on his name will be saved. He's promised that there is no condemnation, no guilt, none for anyone who is in Christ Jesus. And he has promised that he's working out everything that happens in our life for our good if we love him. Using everything that happens in our life to make us more into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. These promises, these glorious and true promises are yours if you are a follower of Jesus. And they can give us great hope. So Paul is confident. He is certain. He's confident in God, the promise-keeping God, and he's confident in the Corinthian church, not because they're awesome. They're not. They're terrible. They're like us. They're terrible. But they are held onto by God. See verse 21. It is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. This is the confidence that Paul has, and this is the confidence that we can enjoy as well. Have you been let down? Have you been let down by someone that you love? Have you been let down by someone who is close to you? Have you been let down and abandoned by your workplace, by your friend, by your mother, father, brother, sister, husband, or wife? Are you wondering, who can I trust? That's really hard. But Paul, here in this passage, offers us confidence. Not confidence in people. People will always let us down. I've been here, a minister here at this church, for about 9 months now, and I'm sure that a few of you could come up to me and tell me later the ways that I have let you down. I mean, we let each other down, don't we? Other people will always let us down at times. But Paul offers us confidence, not in him, but in his message. In his message that Jesus Christ lived and died and rose again. In his message that God has a place for us in his eternal home of heaven. In his message that the Lord Jesus will always be with us, even when things hurt. In the promise that Jesus is the Good Shepherd, who can lead us through even the valley of the shadow of death, because he has been there before us. We can have confidence because God is always, always faithful and keeps his promise. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you have shown us in your word that you are the promise-keeping God. Thank you that all your promises find their fulfillment in the Lord Jesus, and that though we are let down again and again by people in this world, and though we let each other down, you will never let us down. You will keep your promise. Please give us great confidence in that. Amen.